94.5 KDGE, The Edge. Jeff K here, Edge Club 94 in progress. And on the phone with me from Austin is the one and only Richard Hall. How you doing, Moby?
I'm sleepy.
Are you sleepy?
Yeah.
So did you just fly in from New York direct to Austin?
Yeah, that extra long 3-hour flight.
Exactly. What's been going on, pal?
For the last year and a half, as we've been chronicling on your show, I've been involved in this nasty legal battle with Instinct.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about your new album.
Which finally ended. And so now I've signed to Mute Records.
Congratulations.
And there should be a record coming out probably beginning of September, like an EP, 6 songs.
Wow. And the title is?
Move.
Move.
So good.
Now, is that going to be a coinciding release here in the States as well? Is it going to be Mute in the States as well?
It's going to be Elektra in the States and Mute for UK and Europe.
Wow. So this is like the big fat deal that like Erasure got.
It's very Erasure deal in scope, but not so much in terms of content.
Thank God.
Only one of me, although I do kind of have a shaved head.
And you do a real good falsetto.
Yeah.
What can we expect on the album?
A wide scope of a lot of variety. I mean, there's one thing that has no drums and almost sounds something like Eric Satie would do. He was a French composer. And the main track is very disco-y.
Oh, that's great.
But sort of like melancholy ambient disco.
Wow.
Sort of like, it's hard to describe, but it's got a really nice female disco chorus that I'm pretty fond of.
Is there any previously released stuff that's going to appear on the album, like Thousand?
No. It's just an EP. It's just 6 songs.
Okay.
And it's all new, and I hope some of it's good. I'm not sure about all of it yet.
Why don't you ever feel that stuff that you make is going to be that good or well-received? And everything that you've put out has been, yet every time we talk to you, you always feel that you're not too sure whether people are going to like it.
I don't really have much objectivity with the stuff that I do because I work on it so closely and for such a long time, and I don't work with any other people. You know, I write it all and engineer it and produce it all in my bedroom. So after about a month of working on something, I completely lose objectivity, and when it finally comes out, I don't know. I can't see the song or songs for what they are. And I usually, by that point, I'm kind of tired of them, so I can't imagine anyone else liking them.
Will Elektra here in the States pick one particular song and try and push with mixes or anything like that?
Oh, we're doing that with this song Move, and we've done a bunch of mixes. We got MK to remix it.
Wow.
Well, because he's a sort of a friend of mine.
Mark Kinchin.
Yeah. And then we might pick another song that I actually sing on.
Now, straight up singing, not your rap thing.
What? No, it's actual sort of like singing / vocalizing, but seeing as I can't sing, it's fairly heavily processed and sort of distorted. Sounds more like John Lydon, that sort of vein.
When does the single hit the streets?
Well, you, being a privileged DJ, will probably have one in the beginning of August.
Okay.
But other people like me will have to wait until the end of August.
Oh, man. So what you been doing, I mean, other than just business stuff, what's the scene like in New York these days? Has it kind of deteriorated into the cliquish things again, or are there still the great big parties and the NASA parties and all that?
Well, the rave scene, I've kind of lost, at least in New York, I've lost a lot of interest in it. It seems like it's becoming a lot sort of formulaic, where it's just, you know, anybody who can put together a 3-color flyer and rent a couple lights and hire the trendy DJs can have a rave. And it seems to have sort of lost its subversive quality.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that something will come in and fill the gap.
Yeah. It's kind of the same things happening here, man.
I get the feeling it's happening all over the place. I mean, I think there's a lot of talent and a lot of great music coming out. But in terms of ideas, the scene seems to sort of be, you know, treading water. Not really moving forward.
I was opening Vanity Fair magazine the other day. By the way, Katie Lang and Cindy Crawford, doing the wild thing on the cover there.
Friends of mine.
Are they?
No. Although I was supposed to do a Katie Lang remix once. Well, Warner Brothers asked me to do this Katie Lang remix for the song Miss Chatelaine.
Okay.
I really disliked the song. And I just couldn't think of anything to do with it. And she called me up. This is one of my little brushes with stardom. She called me up to ask, like, to see what I thought of it. And seeing as I'm whatever sort of a diplomatic, mild-mannered, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant guy, I couldn't come straight out and tell her that I disliked the song, so I hemmed and hawed. And she was very straightforward, and she said, listen, if you don't like the song, don't do it. And she hung up the phone. That was the end of it.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow. But I'm still waiting for the Cindy Crawford story. What's that?
I was being facetious.
Oh, okay. All right. No, but the point is, you're in the new Vanity Fair, and there's a profile on you, and they're still asking you the same questions they were asking you 2 years ago.
Well, I think that the Vanity Fair audience is slightly different than the audience that would have been hearing whatever, asking me questions 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, this is for your whatever... I don't know, executive on a plane with, and read about, you know, skinny white guys who live in New York City.
One of the really cool things that came out between the last time I spoke to you and this time was your remix of Beat It by Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Never ever in my life would I ever think about letting Michael Jackson grace my mix show. However, it has done so at least two or three times simply because it's the raddest thing I think I've ever heard in my life. What you took that song and you totally reinterpreted it, and it was a wonderful mix. Your Moby sub mix of Beat It.
Actually, it was originally supposed to be called the Subversion. You get there sort of like a clever pun, Subversion.
Uh-huh.
Some genius at Epic Records reinterpreted that as the sub mix. So my clever pun, I don't know, fell on deaf ears at Epic.
Wow. But I mean, what were you thinking, man? When you went in with Michael Jackson and you had this bare track, were you thinking, I'm just going to take this thing over the top, or what?
At first, I tried a fairly, like, this was, I did the remix about almost a year and a half ago.
Oh, so, because it is kind of a period piece.
Yeah. And it, if it came out a year and a half ago, it would have been a lot more current. But they waited and waited. When I first did it, my initial plan of attack was to do a fairly straightforward, fairly hard dance version of it. But then that failed miserably, so I just sort of had fun and sort of deconstructed it and did something that I thought I'd be interested to listen to.
Yeah, the halftime kind of raga beat thing is really cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That catches people by surprise. Most tracks don't go from 140 beats per minute to 70 beats per minute.
Mm-hmm. But then again, most tracks don't go to 1,000 BPM either.
Yeah, they're both sort of designed to make people feel uncomfortable if they're trying to dance to it.
Yeah. Did you think that the track that was on the next is the E12-inch would garner as much recognition as it did? I mean, it was kind of just like this obscure B-side that wound up turning into the whole focus of that single.
At the risk of sounding immodest, I did, because I wrote the song. I was DJing one night in New York, and before I went to DJ, I sat down and wrote the song and recorded it to a DAT so I could play it that night. And the whole process took maybe 10 minutes, you know, writing and recording. And I brought it to the club and played it, and I never had such a good response to a song.
Wow.
But from that moment, I kind of knew there was something special there.
Now, is that really in the Guinness Book of World Records?
That's what they tell me. I haven't actually seen the Guinness Book of Records, but... I've been told that by a few people.
The fastest song ever. So, but I mean, realistically, wouldn't it be simple to just somehow
sample it?
Sample it and speed it up.
Hmm?
Huh. All right. Well, for people who are wondering who I'm talking to, I'm talking to Moby, the one and only Moby. I don't even want to like call you the techno artist anymore, because somehow that sounds kind of like phony. You are the master underground musician. How's that?
Master underground musician who just signed a major label.
A major label deal, exactly.
Underground anymore.
Yeah. Well, no. It's still the underground credibility is maintained. We'll just have to see what this new 6-track EP sounds like. You know, it's up to radio weasels like me now to decide your future.
I'm sure it'll kill off any credibility I have.
So, no, Annie, you're in Austin tonight because you're doing a show down there with, is it Young American Primitive?
Playing with Young American Primitive, who just came off stage and who had a wonderful set.
Wow. And then you're here tomorrow night for the Century Circus.
Yeah.
It's the Circus of the Century, Moby.
Oh, people pounding nails into their sinuses and that sort of.
Well, I don't know if Jim Rose is going to be in town, but I think there's definitely going to be some little blue midgets running around and stuff like that. I'm going to be in the dunking booth, so feel free to come by and dunk me. And have you ever hurled on the tilt-a-whirl?
Have I ever hurled? When I was maybe 8 years old, I came really close to hurling on the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Wow. I asked Digital Boy, he was here earlier tonight, if he'd ever hurled on a Tilt-A-Whirl, and I don't think he really knew what a Tilt-A-Whirl was. I don't think they have those in Italy.
I'm surprised. I thought this seems like something they would invent there.
Or at least something they might copy there.
Yeah, they would bootleg and, ignore all existing copyright laws as they do with everything else.
Oh, stop it.
Ended.
Okay, so one, let's go ahead and just reiterate, because that's what a good radio DJ does. Once again, you've got the new six-track EP. It's called Move?
Move, in Move. Parentheses, You Make Me Feel So Good, because I couldn't think of a title for it. So I took the two titles I thought of and sort of, whatever, bastardized them and put them together.
Uh-huh. All right, and that's out in September.
Yeah.
The first single is going to be out in August.
For lucky radio DJs like yourself.
Lucky radio DJs, okay. And then be sure to come tomorrow night to the Lizard Lounge to check Century Circus. And Moby, what's next for you, man? Are you got any other... last time I talked to you, you told me about all these great remixes that you had coming out. And what have you worked on lately?
Basically just this EP.
I
did some mundane, but the only remixes I did recently were a Depeche Mode remix that they rejected because it was too strange.
Was that of Walking in My Shoes?
Yeah, which the original is about 90 beats per minute.
Yeah.
And the remix I did was 195 beats per minute.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, no, the mix that came out was kind of weak. You did some mixes that were rejected. I think the Third Floor guys in San Francisco did some mixes that were also rejected as well. So there realistically are some great tapes floating around out there of Depeche Mode's Walking in My Shoes.
Oh yeah, never to be heard.
Never to be heard. Okay, so that was it. So you just kind of went in seclusion, did your own thing for the major label, and and no remix work.
I'd be more than happy to make digital copies of the mixes I've done for anyone if they want to bootleg them. Just get in touch with me.
And once again, you are still listed in the New York phone book.
Yeah, under Richard Hall, 262 Mott Street.
Wow. Okay. Moby, it's great talking to you as always, man. I can't wait to see the show tomorrow night. Is the stage show, could it possibly be any bigger or better than it was last time?
Well, we have trained elephants, and as I said, I pound nails into my sinuses now, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You just never cease to amaze me. All right, here we go with something just slightly different, something that I've been playing for quite a while, because I have to say, as you and I both said, the rave scene is kind of dead. There is a perfect mix for the mood that the scene is in now on the I Feel It 12-inch, which, by the way, I'm just going on and on here, as I do. What's the deal with Equator?
Equator licensed Next is the E from Instinct, but they couldn't call it Next is the E in England because they thought it was a drug reference. So we had to change the name to I Feel It.
Uh-huh.
I thought if they called it Next is the E, people would be too afraid of it. So it got a more innocuous name.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and do the synth mix of I Feel It, Next is the E. This is Moby. Moby, have a great show tonight. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Take care.
Bye.
This is Edge Club 94 on 94.5 The Edge.